Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
You know, it's a process. You can't take 11 at one time and just say, boom, you're gone. We have to find where these people are. Most people don't even know where they are. Nobody even knows if it's 11.
So it's still possible.
It could be 30 and it could be 5. Nobody knows. We know the bad ones. We know where they are, who they are. We know the drug cartel people. We know the gangs and the heads of the gangs and the gang members. Those people are gone.
Donald Trump's courting the Hispanic vote. He has only has eyes for you. Of course, not one additional Hispanic will vote for him now that he's pivoted. But let's hear the music, because I really rather go into nostalgia than sit here and worry about this and what and this and that. All right, but what is said is what's important. That's why we're even paying attention. So here we are. Donald Trump pivoted in order to appeal to Hispanic voters. And the estimates are he did not gain any Hispanics, and he lost his core. I talked about this yesterday, and I told you that I'm not in favor of even saying we're going to deport 30 million people, because, A, there are three reasons why we can't do it. One, it can't happen. It's impossible to do. You cannot deport 30 million people. It's impossible. It won't happen. But we came up with an alternative plan for getting rid of the people we don't need. For example, one-third of the prison population are illegal aliens. They're non-citizens. They are incarcerated. You can begin there. Trump didn't mention that because he didn't talk about it on the Michael Savage show. He talked about it on a show where there's no thinking, where there's no thought. There's just parroting. Well, I originate ideas. I don't parrot ideas. That's number one. So you begin by deporting the one-third of prisoners who are illegal aliens. Yesterday, a caller came up with another idea, Mr. Trump. If this should get to you, pay attention to it. You eliminate the H-1B visa. You deport everyone on an H-1B visa going back 5 years. You give them 3 months to leave America. You don't have to deport them. They're generally nice people. Most of them are from India. They're not violent people. The reason you deport them is not because they're bad people, but because they took American IT jobs. That's number two. So there are many things that can be done. Number three, eliminate all welfare, all legal aid, all. That means all. That means everything an illegal alien means a non-citizen gets, you eliminate. We have veterans dying in the hallways of VA hospitals. We have American indigenous poor of all races who are starving for government help or for jobs. And so, therefore, as they say, you know, charity begins at home. That's number two or three. Now, here's a story no one's yet talked about today because it came out 3 minutes ago. I really was astounded to read it, but I'm not surprised. I was astounded that Paul Wolfowitz, who was one of the architects of the Iraq War under Bush II, one of the original neocons who got us into Iraq, a man who was a true war criminal in my estimation. Paul Wolfowitz is a war criminal in my mind for lying to us about weapons of mass destruction, for dragging us into Iraq, for causing the deaths of millions of Iraqis and hundreds of thousands of others, and of course for leaving the dead and wounded along the battlefield. Paul Wolfowitz now comes out minutes ago in Germany and gives a speech in that horrendous nation of Germany, with German newspaper Der Spiegel, in favor, of course, of unlimited immigration of Muslims into Germany. And Paul Wolfowitz, the neocon deputy secretary of defense under George Bush from 01 to 05, said yes when asked if he considers Trump to be a security risk. But wait, we got more for you, if that's not enough for you. When asked why, Wolfowitz, the war criminal, in my opinion, who was a driving force and top policy architect of the Iraq war criminal, Wolfowitz, who was a driving force and top policy architect of the Iraq war, in other words, he lied to Bush and caused the deaths of thousands of Americans, and top policy architect of the Iraq war, said, well, it's because Trump's admiration for Russian President Vladimir Putin and former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. Listen to what else this neocon said. The only way you can be comfortable about Trump's foreign policy is to think he doesn't really mean anything he says. That's a pretty uncomfortable place to be in. Our security depends on having good relationships with our allies, said Wolfowitz. Trump mainly shows contempt for them, calling Trump's praise for the aforementioned leaders pretty disturbing. Wait, I got more for you. If that's not enough, here comes the rest of the walkaway cocktail. You got the shrimp, you got the clams, now here come the scallops in the walkaway cocktail. Wolfowitz's feelings of discomfort toward Trump and his foreign policies are enough to drive him to the Democratic presidential nominee. He said, I wish there was somebody I could be comfortable voting for, said the war criminal, in my opinion, Wolfowitz. He said, I might have to vote for Hillary Clinton, even though I have big reservations about her. Now, Wolfowitz, the neocon, who lied to George Bush, lied to the American people, and got us into Iraq, joins a series of other former officials under George Bush who have come out publicly for Clinton instead of Trump, including James Glassman, Bush's undersecretary of hate for public diplomacy, as well as a deputy secretary of hate, Richard Armitage. Wolfowitz's old boss, former defense secretary Donald Rumsfeld, remember him, told the Washington Examiner this year that he would be voting for the Republican, but stopped short of specifically saying he would support Trump. So now you're asking me, what does this mean? It's simple. Why would one of the liars, one of the top liars in the universe, a certified madman who got us into Iraq on the big lie of weapons of mass destruction, who only Fox News believed, I certainly didn't believe it, Wolfowitz calls Donald Trump a security risk. He says he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Why? Why does he hate Putin, and why does he hate Trump, and why does he love Clinton? Answer. Bingo. We should play the Eisenhower clip right now if you have it, Jim. If you have it, just play it, because that will explain to my poor audience what's exactly going on the pinball machine of politics. Let's hear it.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
So he said, beware the military-industrial complex. He was a great American general. He was the supreme Allied commander of the Allied forces in World War II, defeating Superman. He was then president when I was a little boy. He was probably one of the greatest of American presidents in my lifetime. He is one of the people I look up to as an example of a great balanced president who was also a man with military experience. Going back to World War I, by the way, fought in World War I. Great man, wonderful man, but he warned us, even though he was a military man, beware the military-industrial complex. And now we wake up and we see a member of the military-industrial complex, through their mouthpiece, Paul Wolfowitz, calling Donald Trump a security risk, saying he's a vote for Hillary Clinton because Trump wants to have peace with Putin, not war. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Wolfowitz is salivating with blood coming out of his gills, waiting for the day Hillary Clinton becomes president so she can steam up the world against Putin and justify spending trillions of dollars on military equipment and possibly go to a limited war with Russia in order to satisfy the greedy animals in the military-industrial complex. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I spell it out today for you because this is a news story, but this is not news to me. And I must say, yes, it's in scorched earth. I warn you about the military-industrial complex. The most important book of your generation is Scorched Earth, out in 2 weeks. But let me go past my book and go into today's show. Here is Trump not knowing what to do. They got him spinning. They brought in the Republican National Committee strategist, who's an idiot of the highest order, an idiot who advised Mitt Romney. I mean, what more do you need? How'd that work out for Mitt Romney and America? They bring in a Schmendrick who misadvised Mitt Romney to advise Trump. And what's the advice? I gotta tell you what the advice is. It's milquetoast all the way. Milquetoast, milquetoast all the way. Who is milquetoast? Which is, I'm on your side. I'm not against you, I'm really for you, I think I'm for you, and I'm against you, I didn't mean this, I didn't mean that. Although I like you, I don't like you, although I might deport, I wouldn't deport. I think you should be deported, but I won't deport. We have to limit the deportation, we don't know how many of you are here, but we don't really mean it, we like it. Hasta la huega, da, 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 put on the sombrero and sing a song. So that's going to help him with who? Nobody. The Hispanics already don't like him. Okay? And so, how does it help him with his base? It doesn't. It undermines his base, which is why the Republican National Committee told him to do it, because they don't want him to win. They're just like Wolfowitz. Don't you understand that the RNC, by inveigling their way into the Trump campaign and promising them tons of money and support, basically are using the Trojan horse of those promises to do what they've done to him, which is undermine him. That's all. Now, that's the opening to the show. And that's why I played this song, I Only Have Eyes for You. That opens us up to 855-407-282. 855-400-SAVAGE. How do you feel about Trump's pivot on immigration? Why do the neocons want war with Russia? Open mic to mic. Any topic is fair game. Let's have the Shabup Shabup song. It's Friday. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Most people don't know what's going on, nor do they care. They're on a vacation. They're drunk. They're stoned. They're high. They're at Burning Man. They're on fire. They don't even know it. Their pants are on fire. Their brain is on fire. They don't know from nothing. But my job is to make sure you, some of you who are awake are listening. So I hope you're listening. If you're listening and you can't talk, it's a phone number. That's all. I'm really a genius in terms of analysis. I'm probably the best one in the entire radio business, in my estimation. I don't read from books written by George Washington. I actually can think through contemporary events and come up with a solution or analyze it for you in an original way. So, I give you this brilliant insight, and now I want to go into a nostalgic conversation about the Catskill Mountains when that song was popular. Now, I don't know whether doing that makes me a bigger or smaller host for the masses of individuals who listen to me. Some of you love when I change format. Some of you say stick to the basics. You know what my answer is? I'll do what I think is best for me, because at the end of the day, it's up to the host to keep himself entertained. That's the first rule of radio. You can hear when a host is just mailing it in. Most of them have left the business. There used to be some pretty good people in the business. They got tired of it. This is the hardest thing in the world to do 3 hours a day. Ask anyone who does it. And you can't fake it. Either you're enthusiastic about the subject matter and about you being involved in it, or you're not. And if you're not, the people hear it. Because there's no legs. There's no shoes. There's no lipstick. We don't have Roger Ailes with camera shots of our thighs while we're talking about world events. It's only our ideas and our voice that matter. You get it? So there it is. Paul Wolfowitz calls Donald Trump a security risk, might have to vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, having said all of that, there's a few other things I want to say without attacking anybody else in the media, directly or indirectly. I mean that. There is a feeding frenzy right now about Hillary Clinton's health. May I tell you that not only is this stupid, but it's actually turning sympathy towards her. Have you heard that anywhere else but here? No. But I listen very carefully, and you know what it's starting to sound like? A group of mean schoolyard bullies beating up on a poor woman. How's that for a Friday insight? I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. I listen to it, and I hear a mean schoolyard pig attacking a woman on her health level. All it's going to do is drive people who might have voted for Republican away from these thugs. You agree with me on that? Of course you do. That's why you're listening to me, the king of talk radio, Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You came along.
Woo!
So I gave you a very dense opening with a multitude of ideas. And, of course, most of you are calling only about immigration, because I know that's the hot-button issue. But believe me, and believe me when I say to you, the article I read to you, which came out minutes before the show opened, the architect or one of the chief architects of Bush's war in Iraq, calling Donald Trump a security risk, saying he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton, tells you everything you need to know about who is opposing Trump and why. It's the bloodthirsty ghouls in the military-industrial complex who are dying to gin up a war with Russia in order to have the taxpayers foot $1 trillion or $20 trillion, doesn't matter to them, feeding frenzy of bulletproof vests built by a company owned by a certain senator's husband that don't actually stop bullets. Oh yeah, nice Pacific Heist lifestyle, fed it at the museums and the opera. Wonderful contractor, the senator's husband. And one of his contracting companies made bulletproof vests that didn't work. Didn't stop her from getting reelected. I mean, insider trading is a wonderful thing in America. Look how far Hillary's gotten with it. So why should it not apply to a senator? I mean, these are the people who want a limited war with Russia. Don't confuse yourself. They don't want an actual launch into San Francisco of nuclear weapons. They certainly wouldn't want that. They're not that insane. In other words, their greed has a limit. They don't want their own city blown up. But if they have to destroy half the Ukraine, what the heck? If they can make another couple of $1 billion, what's the difference if 3 million people die? What's the difference to them? And if 1 million Russians die, what do they care? As long as they can get a bigger yacht and a fancier plane and be invited to the White House, what's the difference? So what else is new? Well, what else is new? It's never been like this in American history. Never. It's never been this bad, and there's a word for it, which I used yesterday, which is new to talk radio. No one else has ever used it. It's not like I invented the word. The word is avarice. We've heard the word greed. We've heard the words corruption. But the word is avarice, and more accurately applies to this kind of sickness that is now pervasive in the American political and, frankly, I'm sorry to say to you, business world. Avariciousness has never been at this level, at least in my lifetime. My lifetime would be, let's say, when I was conscious from the 50s on, which is quite a long time when you think about it. I have never seen a level of avariciousness like this, where the avaricious psychopaths have put puppets into power who do not control their insanity. And that, my friend, is the problem we are facing. So who is the craziest of them all? Is it Hillary or Donald? Well, I'll let you figure out who runs the Clinton Foundation for personal gain. The name is not Trump.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Right, I'm back. Playing my little old harmonica. I'm going online to little sites like how to play the harmonica in 4 minutes or less. You can learn anything online. It's awesome. I mean, people who knock the internet are fools. Everything is there. If I want to read about a car I just bought or want to buy. I'm an internet lover because I've always been curious. Think of all the time I save. I don't have to go to libraries. In the old days, I used to have to go to, like, San Francisco to the medical library to get one article. Amazing. But anyway, so here's a new poll. Two-thirds of voters want to see Clinton-Trump medical records. All right. Fine. I'd like to see talk show hosts' medical records. I am so sick and tired of blowhards screaming about Hillary Clinton's medical woes while they themselves are hiding their own medications and their own medical issues. Why don't we hear about that? I mean, whose medical records do you want exposed? Only theirs? How about yours? And the reason I'm saying is that I'm sick of it. Stop beating her up on the health issue for two reasons. One, because I think you're barking up the wrong tree. And number two, you're invading her privacy. I'll tell you the truth. You want to see the medical records? I even said, okay, fine, anyone running for office should expose their medical records. In fact, for years now, I've said I want to see a drug test for everyone in office. I like them to pee in a cup like you have to do. You take a job, as the smallest job in a corporate world, you pee in a cup to see if you're on drugs. If you're, let's say, a deli man in a supermarket, and you're working for a chain, you have to pee in a cup. So why shouldn't the U.S. congressman or senator have to pee in a cup? Well, I want to know what drugs they're on. Might explain their behavior, right? So having said that, I think the same should be true for everyone in the media. That would be me, Stephanopoulos, Wolf Blitzer. I want to see everyone's medical records. And I'll tell you, if anyone accepts this challenge, I will post my medical records online. Because guess what? I got nothing to hide. I am on no medication. Do you know that? I am proud to tell you I am on no medication. I have no medical issues. Well, I have a few medical issues, but everyone does. I mean, underlying, if you looked at the... If you look at a mummy from ancient Egypt, you'd be shocked to find out that they had medical issues, even in ancient Egypt, like heart disease. You say, how's that possible? There was no McDonald's in ancient Egypt. How could a mummy show heart disease from thousands of years ago? Well, because it's endemic in the human condition. It's part of the human condition. It's heart disease, cancer, whatever. But I'm saying to you, before you start screaming, I want to see everyone's medical records. Okay. All of us in the media who are really part of the government in our own way, when you think about it, even though we're outside the government pointing fingers at them, we're sort of the, you know, they used to call that a shadow government. Those of us in talk radio who have this inordinate power of a large audience that listens to us, and make no mistake about it, we influence an awful lot of people. You'd be a fool not to think that. And so we're really part of the public trust. In that regard, we got to be careful who we point fingers at and what we're demanding. I agree. I mean, don't you agree with that, Jim? I mean, we're demanding what? Her health records? Fine. Let's see his too. But then I want to expose all talk show hosts' health records. I want to know what drugs they're on. I want to know what diseases that they're harboring, which might explain their viewpoints. Because then we might have some quality here. And also the same with liberals. I want to know what they're hiding. But you're never going to see that. So leave her alone already with the health. Why don't you just stick to her politics instead of her health? Two-thirds of voters want to see Clinton-Trump medical records. Okay, great. Terrific. 9% increase in May when 50, because it was made an issue. And we see her with the stool. And then the picture with the catheter with the pants. I get it. The catheter bump. Now, it's a tough question. Because you're afraid, well, okay, what if she's sick and she becomes president and can't conduct herself? Then he takes over, God forbid. Then it's a secret way to get him back into the White House for 8 more years? How many interns can there be around the world who are dying to work for him? But nevertheless, it's not a laughing matter. Okay, so, all right, so you could say, let's see the health records. But I wouldn't limit it to them. I would want every senator, Harry Reid, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, I'm not picking them in a particular reason, Barbara Mikulski, I'd like to see her medical records. I'd like to see Charles Schumer's medical records. Pick any senator or congressman that you think is a little bizarre and say you want to see their medical records. Is that what you really want? The Consult survey question 2,102 registered voters on August 23 and 24. The results have blah, blah, blah. And this is interesting. Voters under 30 years old didn't think it was necessary to review the medical details of the candidates. But for voters older than 30, the majority think it's important to review the medical histories, while 82% of voters 65 and older think the candidates need to release the medical details because most older people have medical issues. And most younger people don't think it's an issue because they have no medical issues. And it's as simple as human. Yeah, it's just human. So the majority of registered voters wanting to see the medical history of the candidates coming up the questions surrounding Hillary Clinton's health. I think it's a dead end. Leave it alone. It's only building up sympathy for her. Stop it already. Right? But all you're calling about is the immigration issue. Because it's a hot-button issue. And Trump pivoted. And his pivot looked very weak. I'll be very honest with you. It was a bad pivot. It's not as though it was a reasoned pivot with a policy speech where he explained what he was doing. He just stumbled into the pivot. That was the problem. It was how it was done. It's not what was done. It was how it was done. It made him look a little weak, okay? He's got to stop the weakness now. The reason we wanted him and still want him is because of his strength. And if he continues to look weak, there's no point anymore already. Then we're going to, what, just get another politician? That's the problem with the whole Republican Advice Committee here. And as I say to you, they brought somebody in from the campaign named Sean Spicer, the so-called chief strategist and communications director for the RNC. This is the guy who communicated for Boehner and McConnell. He's now advising 3 or 4 days a week at Trump Tower. Mr. Spicer, if you're listening to the Savage Nation and you have nothing better to do, and those of you who work for Mr. Trump, A2 Brutus, I would suggest you read your Shakespeare and look up the famous line, U2 Brutus. It's A2 Spicer. All right, my friends, let's go to the callers. KVOR, Steve, line 2, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Been listening to you for years. My dad and I, boy, we keep on saying Mike talks just like us. It's just so amazing. The harmonica thing is funny, too, because I just pulled it out of my closet.
No, it's actually something I'm trying to learn because it's a simple instrument, but it has a certain heart to it.
Yeah, I want to play something. I have to, because, by the way, I love your music that you play. Keep it up. Don't ever stop.
Yeah, it's good to play an instrument. When you get very nervous or tense or you don't know what you're going to do, pick up a harmonica or a banjo or something. So what's on your mind today, my friend?
All right, listen, Mike, this is, there's so much on my mind. I mean, everything you say, everything that you're exposing, they just expose it themselves anyway. They don't even care what they're doing. They're just doing it. But, I'm worried that...
So let's pick one topic. Let's pick one topic. Let me ask you, as a dedicated listener who thinks I think like you do, I'm saying lay off Hillary on the health issues. You agree or disagree?
I agree. I agree. We got to get to more important things about how dangerous of a woman she is.
Yes, that's right. And leave her alone on the health because it's only going to alienate people who are not sure which way to go. They're going to say they're picking on a woman. That's my position on it.
It's a deflection. I mean, you know, there's so many other things that we need to know. I'm worried about if Trump wins, either one of them wins, if there's chaos already. I would love to see, you know, Trump just get, you know, win already, you know, when it happens. But if he gets in, I can't see how the American people can accept this fraud as a president. I don't see how Americans will accept this.
Well, they've accepted a fraud for the last 8 years who gets away with virtual murder.
Yes.
So well, what's any different with her? What, Obama's not an example of a fraud who gets away with murder?
Exactly. The man
wins a Nobel Peace Prize for being himself a day after he's a president or 2 months after he's president, and then he starts killing people abroad with the Tomahawk missiles, with drones rather, and no one says a word.
Everything's the opposite of peace.
Yeah, well, okay, 1984, war is peace, hate is love, I get it. All right, listen, I'm sending you a copy of Scorched Earth for you and your father. Is your father still alive?
Yes, he's a veteran.
No, is he still living, though?
Yep.
Good, good. Enjoy your father while you have him. That's all, because after he's gone, you're going to pick up the phone and think you can call him, and he's not there. That's what goes on when your parent dies. It's like you get so used to them in your life, you feel they're always going to be there. For years after my mother went to heaven, I used to pick up the phone and try to call her. Would you believe it? I didn't do it like a psycho. I would think, you know, I want to call my mother. Wait a minute, I got to tell her this, and there's no mother. That's all. So what are you going to do? Enjoy your parents. So what do you want to talk about here? Ah, WABC. Someone's listening in New York. Bert, what's on your mind, Bert?
Yes, Dr. Savage. If I were to advise Mr. Trump on anything, it would be to beware the Rick Lazio moment. You may recall that in 2000, during the Senate race, Rick Lazio and Hillary were debating, and Rick Lazio went across the aisle and put a piece of paper in front of her, saying, I don't want you to read it, I want you to sign it. And at that point, I knew right then that Hillary won that debate and possibly the election because Rick Lazio was caught bullying Hillary.
Bingo. That's what I'm saying. All of this talk in conservative talk radio about her health is bullying.
That's right.
It looks just like thuggish guys in a schoolyard pushing around a woman.
Right. You never do that to a woman.
No, you see, this is not an ordinary candidate. She's got the woman thing going for her, and so you can't approach her the same way you would another male. And so the rules are a little different. And whether you want them to be or not, they are different. And so to fall into the trap of hammering her on health issues is a huge mistake. That would be my advice. But they don't listen to me at the Trump campaign headquarters. They don't care about the primary base that got them where they are at this point. Yes, they'll come on the show once in a while to tell you they do, but they're already moving toward the general election where they think they have to appeal to the wide masses. What they don't understand is that's what destroyed Romney.
That's right. So beware the Rick Lazio moment, Mr. Trump.
Well, thank you for that call. See that? I'm not 100% alone on this. All right, it's open mic to Mike. We don't have to get stuck in the muck here. We have some other very good pieces. Here is Hillary Clinton again banging the war drums with Vladimir Putin, who she's made into the bête noire, as the French would say. She has created a beast. She's made him the bad boy. She's made him the most evil man on the earth. She ignores all of the Islamic terror and murder. She does not say one word about the mullahs in Iran. Instead, she picks on our natural ally against radical Islam on a daily basis. Wanting what? What Wolfowitz wants her to do? Of course. They want war with Russia. And as I said earlier, not a nuclear war, of course. They're not that insane. They're just avaricious and insane with their desire for power and wealth. And they feel if they can get a couple of $1 trillion pumped into the military-industrial complex, think about, I don't know, how many more mansions can they buy? How many more mansions can they possibly own? How many airplanes do they need in a fleet? How much is enough for these psychos who are destroying the world? Well, they want a war with Russia. Listen to clip number one. This is the mad woman, Hillary Clinton. She is a totally mad woman in terms of one thing. You say, well, where's the money? What is she doing? She's not buying anything with the money they have in the Clinton Foundation. It's not about personal money, as far as I can tell. It's a madness. It's an insane power madness. Okay, how does it go? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. She is the epitome of absolute corruption in her drive for more and more and more power. Her and her husband have a megalomaniacal desire for more power. So that's where they take money from the most despotic people on the planet in order to get more of them and more of them and more of them under their control. It's a power madness. Remember the old Beatles movie, The Yellow Submarine from the 60s? Raise your hand, maybe in the audience, if there were an audience of 100,000 people, to, I don't know, whatever it is. And I said, raise your hand if you remember The Yellow Submarine. Well, some of you remember that Beatles cartoon. I'll never forget there was one scene in it that struck me all these years later. And it was about the Nowhere Man who was sitting on top of the hill, and his nose was a trumpet. And the trumpet did not emit music, but the trumpet was used to suck things up from below himself into himself. In other words, he was just an image of greed or madness. And eventually the trumpet sucked up everything below it, and then it turned on itself and sucked itself into its own trumpet. That, my friends, is the cartoon of the day for the Clinton machine.
The grand godfather of this global brand of extreme nationalism is Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump himself heaps praise on Putin and embraces pro-Russian policies. He talks casually of abandoning our NATO allies.
All right, you get the picture. She's a total liar. She transferred the United States uranium stores, 25% of them, to Russia, by the way, for personal gain. Did you know that? Do you know anything about the transfer of the uranium mines in the United States' western areas? We'll talk about that, and you'll see what madness is in the air. It is insanity personified.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. You know, all you really need to ask yourself is, how's Obama's poll numbers doing? This man is what he is. I don't have to spell it out for you in one sentence or less. I've done it in many books. He has like a 53 or 4% approval rating. He's just flying high. It doesn't matter what he does. So that should tell you a little bit about what's coming. I mean, it's a bellwether of the average person, which it's an economic thing. So you say, well, what about all the unemployed Americans? Well, okay. There's an L.A. building boom right now. Skyscrapers are popping up all over Los Angeles. Chinese money. A store in Rodeo Drive just sold for $122 million. That's the number one shopping street in Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive. I've joked about it many times on the show. In fact, I was there a few weeks ago, and I told you I saw burkas everywhere on Rodeo, which I thought was kind of ironic. And I don't know what they're shopping for, like a miniskirt, but nevertheless, maybe that's what they wear for their husbands at home. Store on Rodeo Drive sold for a record $122 million. China's got a building boom going on. New York real estate is insane. So, you know, what is it? The rich get richer, the poor get poorer? Is that new? Basically, the economy is doing well. That's the thing you have to understand. I know. He's printing money. I know we have a $20 trillion debt, and I'm not dismissing it. Trust me, I'm not dismissing it. But you know and I know. You know and I know the average person doesn't feel that oppressed by the economy right now. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. And so they're going to evaluate this election from the wallet and from nothing else. And whoever sells them a better story about the wallet being fatter wins. Period. Take all the nuances of the social disorder and put them in your back pocket, because those issues are not playing with the average person. Main points, Trump's pivot, number one, and lay off Hillary on her health. It's alienating people in the middle. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Chrome was thick and the women were straight. What can I tell you? You bought a car, you had a chrome bumper. Crazy they make a car today. It's part of the car. You got to scratch. You got to replace the half of the car. They designed it. It's like Hillary wants war with Russia in order to have more the same thing. Trump's immigration pivot may not. Yeah, we did that already. I'm sick of it. Trump's immigration pivot. Trump's softening immigration view may not broaden Hispanic support, says USA Today, a newspaper that's lost money for the day it was originally originated. It's nothing but a propaganda sheet for the ultra-left, but it's out there in every rack. And you can see the poor, cheap liberals peering into news machines to this day. They don't even buy them. They peer into the machine to read the headlines. You ever see those people? They're like the old white guys in the bookstores who read magazines for free, dropping crumbs into the magazines. They don't buy anything. And they bring in the crumb cake from home, no less. They don't even buy it from the Barnes & Noble. Anyway, that's the story today. I could get very, very intently serious, or I could go very much in the other direction, but I think I'm going to hold my fire. I had last night stumbled upon an essay I wrote that I've never published called The American Cultural Revolution, What Happened in America. I found it on my desktop. I had lost it. And then I found out after reading these 11 pages that it's actually in Scorched Earth, under the subhead, The Decay of American Culture. So let me start with that, because it's worth reading. Because, see, no one's talking about social issues. Did you notice that? Did you notice that Hillary certainly won't talk about social issues because she represents the anti-social leftists who have destroyed our society? So she's going to talk about family values? Not. Is Trump going to talk about family values? No. Why? Because he's vulnerable on that issue. He's got a great family, but you know right away they're going to bring up the wives and this and that. They want everyone to be like one wife for 500 years, you know, with 3.2 children. That doesn't happen anymore. So we're not hearing about family values. Whatever happened to that issue of family and family values? So in Scorched Earth, yes, my great new book, my masterpiece, my opus, the most brilliant book I've ever written, page 51, I'm going to read half a page. What happened to our beloved America? I know what's happening now. We have let in a sea of cancers. Some of them are progressive elected officials that are eating us up from within. The question is, how do we get here? Nearly a half century ago, we put a man on the moon. Now leftist protesters reveal their full moon in broad daylight. With no help from Al Gore, despite his ridiculous claims, we Americans invented the information superhighway. Internet entrepreneurs created companies such as eBay, thereby accelerating global commerce. Now we have congressmen of both political parties texting underage boys and tweeting out pictures of their appendage to young girls. How did we decline so rapidly? The only certain thing is that America's wounds are internal, and that has left us vulnerable to attack externally. Radical Islamists are determined to kill us and wipe great Satan America and little Satan Israel off the map. ISIS, Iran, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Saudi Arabian Wahhabi nutcases all want to destroy us. The World War II generation faced threats head-on. Now, through inactivity or liberal self-loathing, we help those who are trying to kill us. And that's all I'm gonna stop right there. That's the opening to the whole thing on the social meltdown of America. But it gets so good, I dare not read it. I have to hold my fire until the book is in the bookstore, because then you'll be enticed to go buy it. I don't want to read it now. You can order it in advance, yes, and drive it up on Amazon, and you will. And it'll sell well, and it'll be good. Will it change the course of the election is the only question I ask myself, because that is the main reason that I wrote it. I know that the true believers don't need to read it, because they're already going to either vote for Trump or not vote for Hillary, one or the other. Let's put it to you that way. I am hoping that you will take this book and give it to a wife or a husband or a relative who is intelligent enough to be open-minded, to listen to the other side, and say, okay, I'll read the thing. I've heard Savage on the radio. I think he's pretty entertaining. I think he's pretty smart or whatever, and I don't agree with him, but I like him in terms of his personality as a talk show host. Let me see what he has to say. Maybe I'll change my mind on the election. Because that small margin of the undecided can change the course of the election, I think. Although even that's doubtful when you consider the electoral votes and how that's already been jury-rigged. So, you know, I want to look past the election today in a strange way. In the last hour, I said leave Hillary alone on the health issue because it's only alienating people who are starting to have sympathy for her because it looks like she's being bullied. And I also said that all of the loudmouths who were attacking her on her health ought to also disclose their health records, what drugs they're on, et cetera. And that's everybody in radio. I'm willing to do it. If others would do it, I'll publish my health records online. I'm not on any medication. I take one 325 milligram aspirin every night. It's like a sleeping pill for me. I am saturated with ascorbic acid, vitamin E, zinc citrate. I don't want to read my vitamin list, but I do take mega doses of vitamins, and I have for 40 years, which is why I'm living. In addition to all of the other things I do, I'm just telling you, I mean, it's like clarity. That's why my mind is clear. Friends 30 years ago didn't know why I didn't look older than I did. They didn't understand it. It's like one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be Methuselah. That's how it's going to be. I'll look like an ancient Chinese in a bad kung fu movie. I'll look like 130, but it didn't happen yet. But one day I'm going to wake up and it's going to be like that, or I won't wake up at all. But still, and all, I'm trying to tell you, I'm willing to expose my medical records publicly if everyone else in radio and television will do so, especially those who are harping on Hillary to do so and Trump to do so. I would love it. I would like that. I think every congressman and senator should tell us what medications they're on, or at least pee in a cup, because it would explain half of their behavior. I mean, when I watch Senate hearings, and I see some of the conversations that go on, and I hear the monotones, and I hear the dead voices, I'm sure they're drugged. I'm convinced that they're drug addicts. And they don't want you to know that they're on medication, which explains why they're... What they're doing is what they're doing. Why they attack American mores, why they attack America, why they won't say Islam or Islamic terrorism, why they want open borders. They're like robots. They're robotic. So that's one topic. The other topic is the insanity of attacking Russia on a daily basis by the Democrat slime machine, because there's only one thing that can end up with that, which is a war. And the losers in that one will be the American boys who will be on the front lines, and they will not be from New York's Upper East Side. They will not be coming from the Soros family. They will not be fighting in the war, if you get the drift. You get the picture? They will not be coming from this. There will be no Captain Soros out there on the battlefield with Russia. Let's put it to you that way. There will be no Captain Clinton on the front lines with Russia. In fact, there will be no soldier from any family in Congress. It will be the average person, again, sacrificing their sons for greedy old people who simply want money. And I talked about beware the government military-industrial complex. You played General Eisenhower. It's a disaster to see that same individual who lied to George Bush and the world about WMDs in Iraq to justify the Iraq invasion, Paul Wolfowitz, gave a speech minutes before the show opened. He gave an interview with Der Spiegel in Germany, saying that he will vote for Hillary Clinton. And there's only one reason a slime ball like Paul Wolfowitz, who looks, by the way, like a ferret. If you look at him, the guy looks like a living ferret with a suit. This ferret, Wolfowitz, this neocon ferret, wants war with Russia because he's a neocon. And what does that mean? He's part of the military-industrial complex. He wants money, money, money for contractors, contractors, contractors. It's a terrible thing to admit from my point of view. It's awful. It's actually ugly to say it. It doesn't give me any pleasure to say this to you. I'm not getting any pleasure out of it. It frightens me to think that a man like that, who was so disgraced in all circles of thought, would be back on the campaign trail, this time campaigning against a Republican candidate, because he knows that Trump would not steam up a war with Russia. And that's not good for business. In essence, he's just a pimp for the military-industrial complex, in plain English. Let's take away the veneer and look at what's behind the veneer. You chip away at the veneer, what do you have? A rotten edifice that's falling apart, called Wolfowitz. So that's, it's unbelievable to me. WMAL, Hassan, line 4. Thank you for calling on Wolfowitz. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Savage, excuse me. You know, to be quite honest, I'm not surprised. It's not about strength to folks like Wolfowitz. It's about arrogance. It's about imperialism. It's about vanity. And I think these types of wars of arrogance and adventure, it's typical.
Yeah, but he gave an interview an hour ago, it was just published in Germany, saying, here he is, Wolfowitz, worked for Bush in the defense, as a defense advisor, saying he's going to vote for Hillary. There's only one reason, is that he obviously wants some kind of confrontation with Russia.
I mean, that's clear. I mean, you take a look at, according to this arrogance, every insignificant former socialist village west of the Ural Mountains needs to be engaged by the United States, according to people like Wolfowitz.
All right. I'm glad you heard me. You're the only one in the audience who actually heard it. It's a shocking story, by the way. I'm glad someone's listening to what I say. Here's another little story. Well, I can't even read it because it won't have it. I put it up from the local newspaper. A 50-year-old woman was walking in San Francisco at 7 at night in the light on Pacific Heights. It's a good neighborhood, clean, well-lit. And a predator came up behind her and beat her up. But if you watch the video, you'll see the stranger punching the woman on the ground, beating her. He doesn't stop beating her until she doesn't move. He beats her, and he beats her, and he beats her, and he hit her to take a purse. He beat her until she didn't move. It was like watching an animal, a predatory animal, attack another animal and bite it in the neck until it stopped moving. And, you know, when I say to you that the city is becoming the worst jungle you can imagine, it's a hellhole, a cesspool. There's garbage in the streets, the sewers are overflowing, the bums are out of control. And don't get me wrong, I love the city, but I'm telling you what's going on. You take your life in your hands now walking in San Francisco, and it is a direct result of the progs, the corrupt progs who are running the city, who won't let the police do their jobs. They won't even identify the attacker. They won't even give you his race. Go and look at it. You won't believe what you're watching. I linked it up from the SF Gate thing. Here it comes. Here's the predator, runs up to this poor woman. Bang. Now she's down. Now she's on the ground. He doesn't take anything from her. He's pounding her like in an MMA fight that would have been stopped after the second blow. She's squirming. This piece of human trash, this subhuman, keeps hitting her. This woman, 50 years old, he hits her and hits her and hits her and hits her. And you will not believe what the article that was written says. It implies she said something to him. It implies she said something that provoked him. The woman was walking down the street and turns back to look at the man jogging toward her and wearing a dark hoodie. Oh, really? Without warning, he grabs her by the arm and punches her in the face. He continued hitting her numerous times. He dragged her to the ground. The attack goes on until the woman cannot move. And it says, the victim, whose name was not released, did not speak to her attacker. But the assailant, again, not identified, no race, a complete stranger, might have asked her to apologize for something before the attack. I never saw anything like this in my life. That a newspaper would go this low as to blame a woman who was almost killed by a piece of human, subhuman trash. And then they say, listen to this. Anyone who recognizes the suspect and calls San Francisco police, they don't even identify what the suspect looked like. No age, no height, no race. I'm surprised that they're even allowed to say it was a man. Because in San Francisco, if you identify a suspect as a man, you may be offending people simply by identifying him by his sex. Think about it. We have bathrooms in San Francisco that you can't say man or woman. You can't call a boy, a girl, a girl. So I think that in addition to stopping the identifying perpetrators by their race, because it's offensive to certain races, I think we should stop identifying perpetrators by their sex. And we should no longer even hear that it was a man. And then you could see a description at the bottom of the articles in this wonderful city of mine. Anyone who recognizes the suspect can call San Francisco police. How can you identify a suspect if you can't even say what he is? Right? This is the world we're living in. This is what I talk about when I'm talking to you about a meltdown of a social order, when I'm talking to you about what progressive policies have done to this beautiful city and to this beautiful nation. I have no better example than this. And yes, I blame the progs in office. That's right. I'm Michael Savage. That's my name.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, former New York City Mayor Giuliani told a media outlet that Chris Christie was a force behind Trump's pivot this week in dealing with illegal immigrants living in the country. You got it? Rosalind on WABC, 30 seconds or less, what's your position on deportation?
I vehemently disagree with you that we can't deport 30 million illegal aliens. We can, we must, and we can do it without significant cost to the U.S. taxpayer. We could have federally licensed, independent contractors who act as bounty hunters. We need them in every community in the United States because every community has been infiltrated by these opportunistic foreign leeches that are here gaming the system. So they could...
All right, let's stop for a minute. I know the position you're taking, which is the hard line, and it sounds very appealing on air. Who will do the jobs that they do?
These would be returning veterans, the ones that Trump wanted to put on the border. Forget about the border. That's a side issue.
No, I'm saying who will do the jobs that these deported immigrants are currently doing? Who's going to cook the food? Who's going to work in the factories is what I'm asking you.
Unemployed Americans who are on welfare and getting, whatever.
Really? And you think the people on welfare are going to go to work in factories for 8 to 10 hours a day? You think they're willing to work? I don't. I think that there are tens of millions of people who will never work again in their life. They're fat, they're lazy, and they're being taken care of by me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
George W. Bush's Iraq war architect, Wolfowitz, says he will likely vote for Clinton. To me, that's an open and shut case for not voting for Clinton. How can any anti-war Democrat vote for Clinton when the man who gave us the Iraq war by misadvising Bush and lying to the world about WMDs says he's going to vote for Clinton? There's only one reason he's doing that, because she wants war with Russia, because she's part of the military-industrial complex. I'm trying to make that point over and over again, but I think people are so wed to their party they can't see reality. So what I want to do for you now is give you a little treat and then another treat. And so it's a Friday. Here's an old jazz poem from Eisenhower to Obama in two generations. Let's listen to it and see if it's good. From Eisenhower to Obama in two generations. From Ben Casey to Nurse Jackie in two generations. From mutual assured destruction to assured national destruction, two generations. From Evan Rude to always rude in two generations. From John Wayne to Lady Gaga in two generations. From I Spy to I Cry in two generations. From I Love Lucy to I Love Loosely in two generations. From Al Einstein to Al Gore in two generations. From I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme in two generations. From Catcher in the Rye to Ketchup on the Fly in two generations. Starlets to harlots. Preachers to breachers. Athletes to sexleets. Rabbis to sandflies. Boy Scouts to Toy Scouts. Girl Scouts to Twirl Scouts. From the Eagle to the Beagle in two generations. From LSD to ADD. From Cardigans to Partykins. From Cub Scouts to Scouting Cubs. From Aspirin to OxyContin. From Lady Jane to Let's Get Insane. From Hirsuit to Lawsuit. From Melarose to Melanine. From Niagara to Viagra. From Coney Island to Survival Island. From the Five Families to the Sly Families. From Al Capone to Sly Stallone. From Ike to Spikes. Truman to Untruman. Truman to Untruman. From Truman to the Untruman. From Reagan to Swayman. Rayburn to Pelosi. From the Eagle to the Beagle. From the Bible to the Legal. That's the story of America the Great. To America that greats. That's pretty good. From Eisenhower to Obama, two generations, done a number of years ago. I thought I would play it for you just for the heck of it, for those of you who are such loyal listeners that you listen every day and you listen relentlessly to all the show. You don't know what you're going to get. And I like to mix it up a bit. And now I want to read you something that I think is on that level, but not as tone poemy. And it's a piece from, I'm going to just read it to you. It's from Scorched Earth. Yes, I want you to buy it on Amazon. Okay, but listen carefully why you have to have it. It's under the American Cultural Revolution. Islamists watch training videos on how to carry out jihad against the infidels, while our kids are taking naked pictures of themselves and sending them to members of Congress. Our young people take selfies. Everything is a selfie. Our enemies are preparing our funerals, while our young people worry that pictures of the funerals will not show up on their Instagram accounts. Iran is trying to set up a global caliphate, while we strive to become the next Mozambique. How did the Islamists go from being a regional power to a global fighting force? How did Americans end up supporting our enemies? Well, it starts with a culture that shares a common bond with our enemies. They don't want us to exist, and neither do we. Forget good breeding. We don't do any breeding. Islamists have 14 children apiece, so losing 7 children to homicide bombings is a drop in the bucket. We went from having 2.3 children to an abortion culture and an overpriced Manhattan loft. A three-bedroom family house is a waste when there is no family. Islamists ban birth control and turn their women into baby jihad factories. We have feminists demanding a life of free sex with unlimited trips to the abortion clinic. Most people would never connect abortion to radical Islam, but you're smarter than most people. That's why you're reading Scorched Earth. Start with the numbers. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. America has, at last count, 320 million people. With so many illegals, it is tough to get an accurate count. There are roughly four times as many Muslims as Americans. They keep adding to their ranks, and we keep importing illegals because our own people eliminate their babies. At this rate, we will go the way of Europistan. Italy even has had a declining birth rate in recent years. Europe is finished. They refuse to reproduce while Islamist women keep churning out the next generation of Islamists. At least some Americans are still having children. Unfortunately, many of those children spend their formative years being taught how to surrender. The emasculation of American boys is one step short of suicide. Muslims are living in patriarchal societies while American boys are being emasculated. Schoolyards used to be filled with kids at recess playing games like kill the guy with the ball. Nobody died. We played smear the queer. Nobody sued anybody. Boys played with G.I. Joes and girls played with dolls. Kids played freeze tag without a single incident of sexual harassment. Cartoons were filled with violence. Bugs Bunny tied the gun in a knot and Elmer Fudd's gun went kaboom, covering his own head in black soot. While E. Cody chased the Roadrunner and fell off his death. We as children knew not to try and jump off the roof. Teenage boys watched Rocky and Bambo. Then we came home without trying to kill anybody. We did not need liberals to tell us the difference between pretend and real. Our parents handle that. Now schools across the country are canceling gym class. Even rock, paper, scissors is too violent. Rocks and scissors could be used by children to harm each other. Paper requires murdering trees. It's no wonder Islamists produce strapping young men, while America produces sensitive crybabies. Muslim children are taught in madrasas how to kill the infidels and the blasphemers. American boys are suspended from school for arranging their school lunch vegetables in the shape of a gun. Perhaps it's good they get suspended. Michelle Obama is starving our children anyway. Pizza, burgers, fries are replaced with gluten-free, calorie-free, flavor-free garbage that the kids throw away. Then they race home and grab a hamburger because growing boys want more than an apple slice and a fiber protein bar. During World War II, young boys volunteered to go overseas to save the world. The Korean War had Colonel David Hackworth teaching our young military how best to kill a commie for mommy. Now American kids on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from potential microaggressions. Islamists cut off heads and limbs, and our young boys shriek at the drop of a microaggression. When I watch movies from the 1950s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, and proud of itself. When I look at America today, I see obviously something else. This is because a very small band of radical, fanatical leftists seized every aspect of the media and every avenue of government imaginable. They're not the majority, and they don't speak for the people. They are a small band of political deviants. They are political deviants in a statistical sense, in a political sense, and in a social sense. This small band of deviants in government and in the media have wrecked the United States of America and turned us into a nation of almost slaves. They turned the grandchildren of the greatest generation into jellyfish. It is easy to blame the 1960s flower power and other inanimate objects. It takes a village of people to destroy a child. They need to be called out by name. Hillary Clinton and even Barack Obama are just symptoms of a much bigger disease. And I can go on. It's from Scorched Earth. It's really very good writing, and I know you're going to love reading this book, and I know you're going to want to capture what I'm saying in the printed world. And again, it is in Scorched Earth. So I think I'll read for one more minute. I can't read the entire chapter. But the reason I'm reading this on the American Cultural Revolution from my forthcoming Scorched Earth is because apparently social values are not part of this campaign. It's come down to almost idiotic issues, such as Hillary's alleged health problems. But what we're living through right now is part of the disease of the Cultural Revolution, started right around the time Barry was born. This Cultural Revolution was begun by Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and I would say Bella Abzug. This was a group that you could never find in hell itself to do more damage to a nation. They were all such silk-smooth salesmen. One pushed rampant sex with animals. Another one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. The other one, God knows what he pushed. There was also a lawyer involved, William Kunstler. Abzug was a feminist who once said, "The establishment is made up of little men, very frightened." Of course they are frightened. Long before fire-breathing dragon ladies Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz set about castrating the entire male gender, Helen Thomas and Bella Abzug existed. Thomas was more of an Islamist than a feminist. Her demands that Jews be expelled from the Middle East and returned to Europe made her more of a jihadist than a bra burner. As the self-titled Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas was able to traffic in Jew hatred by intimidating American men. She intimidated male journalists so she could then intimidate presidents. Helen the Hideous had nothing on Bellicose Bella. Abzug never missed an opportunity to praise murderous regimes while bashing America. She once thundered that, quote, "imperfect though it may be, the Beijing platform for action is the strongest statement of consensus on women's equality, empowerment, and justice ever produced by governments." That was in 1995, only 75 years after Americans ratified the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Meanwhile, China's one-child policy resulted in plenty of girls never being born. It may seem odd for a flaming feminist to support such sexism, but leftists love anything that increases abortions. She pushed gay rights, environmental rights, and racial justice, all of which have nothing to do with improving the lives of women. Abzug convinced the whole generation of women that feminism required leftist activism. Her husband was a member of the Young Communist League, and she shared his leanings and practice of not entitled. She was also a typical leftist hypocrite. While pushing the gay agenda on everyone else, she lamented having two daughters who both turned out to be lesbians. After decades of claptrap about being a strong, independent woman, she confessed her emotional dependence on her husband. Abzug encouraged young girls and women to try and defy biology, all the while pining for a husband's strength and heterosexual children. Like Abzug, and by the way, I could be talking about someone who's running for the presidency, because Hillary Clinton is a descendant of Abzug psychologically. Like Abzug, Timothy Leary did everything he could to destroy young human minds. His drug of choice was LSD. He became an academic who became famous for telling students to turn on, tune in, drop out. Psychedelic mushrooms were part of his curriculum. His idea of humor was spouting destructive thoughts disguised as harmless platitudes. "There are three side effects of acid," he said: "enhanced long-term memory, decreased short-term memory, and I forget the third." Acid does not enhance long-term memory. Like many typical leftist academics, Tim Leary was an anti-God as he was pro-drug. Monotheism, he said, is the primitive religion which centers human consciousness on hive authority. There is one God, and his name is, substitute hive label. If there is only one God, then there is no choice, no option, no selection of reality. There is only submission or heresy. The word Islam means submission. The basic posture of Christianity is kneeling. Thy will be done. Leary influenced a generation of young minds to equate Christians kneeling in prayer with Muslim terrorists. It is no wonder after the September 11th attacks that so many liberals sought to equate a mythical radical Christianity with the truly violent radical Islam. Meanwhile, the CDC reported that an all-time high 47,000 people died from drug overdoses in 2014. The liberal response is to push for more legalization. Colorado and Washington State have turned into drug central with a few trees. Young people flock to Denver and Seattle to tune in, turn on, and drop dead. Allen Ginsberg was another leftist who contributed to America's moral decline. He abandoned his Jewish faith to take up Buddhism, yet his real religion was leftism. He was a beat poet, which even today is considered by leftists to be an actual vocation. Beat poets are like community organizers, but with more candles. Ginsberg's famous 1956 poem, Howl, excoriated capitalism and paid glowing tribute to homosexual sex. I can read on and on, and I will read on and on when the book Scorched Earth is in your hand, when we can read it together and all howl together right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
What would you give me 15 again to know what you know now?
Nothing. You wouldn't be able to get through a second with your cynicism. From Father Knows Best to Who Knows Where Father Rests. I'm going to rewrite some of the stuff. From Father Knows Best to Who Knows Where Father Rests. Yeah,
KLIF. Hey, Dallas, haven't heard from you in a while. Paul, what's on your mind today from KLIF Radio?
Oh, man. Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I just wanted to comment earlier when you were pontificating, you had Cannonball Adderley in the background, and that was pretty awesome. And I wanted to ask you, and I'll hang up after I ask the question, and, you know, it's like I said, it's a pleasure. If you dig guys like Ken Nordine or...
All right. Thank you for the call. I don't know the other folks. I liked Cannonball Adderley when I was young. I thought he was great. So I set it to the background of my tone poem. That's all. I haven't done a new one in many years. Maybe I'll do a new one. Well, anyway, look, the point of the story was, and reading from Scorched Earth, is to show you a few things, which is that our culture has melted down like Chernobyl. And in this campaign, when have you heard Hillary Clinton talk about cultural values? She is a representative. She is the Jeanne d'Arc, the Joan of Arc, of the campaign against family values and cultural norms. She is the dragon.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The worst possible rendition I ever heard, a butcher job of Tchaikovsky. But nevertheless, it is the opening to the third hour where fireworks can be seen in your brain. And we're open for business on Rock and Roll Friday at 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-472-82. We've been talking about Trump's pivot on immigration, why neocons like Wolfowitz want war with Russia, and what that tells you about Clinton. Here's a guy who was an architect of the Iraq War, Paul Wolfowitz. He lied to the world. He said they were WMDs. He dragged us into an unnecessary war, which has resulted in ISIS. Now, that's bad enough, right? So now he goes to Europe, he goes to Germany, he goes to Der Spiegel, and he gives a speech to them today, an hour before the show. And he says that Trump will cause chaos and he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. So put two and two together. Please use your brain. If a man who lied to us in order to drag us into a war called the Iraq War wants Hillary Clinton as president and not Donald Trump, because Trump wants peace with Russia while Hillary wants war with Russia, does that not help you liberals understand why she is dangerous for the world? No matter what D she has next to her name, she's a warmonger. Okay, I made my point. I can't do it over and over and over and over again. It's clear as a bell to me. And I don't think we need to keep talking about it, okay? But I like to talk about the other topics. Jackie, KSFO Radio online. Jackie, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I saw Hillary Clinton. I'm in Deal, New Jersey, and I spoke about Michael Savage, and she just wiped the floors with Michael Savage. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. And she kept talking so bad about you. I really, truly ripped it to pieces.
Right. Glad to hear it. So what else is new?
I mean, you know, why does she hate you so much?
Well, for one, I'm exposing her for being a warmonger. She keeps vilifying Putin as though she wants war with Russia. That's bad enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the end of times if she gets in.
Let's look at her tenure as Secretary of Hate. Did she do good or bad?
Yeah,
She destroyed the Middle East. I don't understand how this isn't a case in point as to her unqualification for the highest office in the land. How could this not be the issue? This is the number one issue, is her tenure as Secretary of State. Forget the Clinton corruption. Talk about the fact that she destroyed the Middle East and caused the refugee crisis with her Arab Spring program. She owns that. So no wonder she hates me. A woman like her hates the truth.
I have to say thank God that the Jews got out of Syria. And they got out of all those places.
All right. Now we go into the Jews. No, I don't understand this. Next, I'll have a Jerry Lewis imitation. Next, I would have had a Jerry Lewis imitation ask me about corned beef. Can you get a good corned beef out there in San Francisco? I don't know where he's coming from. He probably made the whole thing up. Chances are she never heard of me. Even though I'm on radio, I guarantee she heard of me. Okay. This is the Savage Nation. It is Rock and Roll Friday. It is not the 1990s. It is, even though celebrities are rocking the 90s midriff again, it is actually 2016. We don't care what celebrities do. They're fools. Basically, they're idiots, which is why they're celebrities. If they were not idiots, they wouldn't be celebrities. They'd be human beings doing something useful other than walking around half naked in the street and saying, oh my, don't take my picture. Let's take some calls instead. WJR, Ron, line one, go ahead, please. Got to hope you're a better caller than the last one.
Yes, Mr. Savage.
Yeah, go ahead, talk.
Okay, yeah, this is Ron from Warren. I just want to, first of all, thank you for your program because it's extremely enlightening. And as far as what you said about, questions in that.
Ron, what's your main reason for calling a national show? What do you want to say to the world?
That they better open their eyes because we're being taken over by Muslims.
All right, well, that's a fair point. That's right. That's why I read that piece. That's right. It's not a dream. And here, Hillary. Oh, that's a good lead into what we're going to do. Here is Hillary Clinton, who wants more Muslims in the country than you could imagine for reasons that make no sense. Listen to clip number three on the Savage Nation.
Under Donald Trump, America would distinguish itself as the only country in the world to impose a religious test at the border. Now, come to think of it, there actually may be one other place
that
does that.
Now, that's ludicrous. It's not a religious test. It's a terrorist test, and you know that. She's a complete liar and a fraud and a demagogue. Let's hear clip number four of the fraud and liar on the Savage Nation. Number four.
He'd banned Muslims around the world from entering our country just because of their religion. Now, think about that for a minute. How would that actually
work? We are thinking about that for a minute. We're all thinking about that for a longer than a minute. That's what most Americans want. Even liberals don't want any more of them in here. Okay? You're the only one who seems to think that there's some wonderment to radical Islam. We don't understand it because you won't even say Islamic terrorism. So that's the answer to that question. Next case. Let's move on. So I really wanted to focus today. You see, all these issues are well known and well established and well discussed. And to me, they're already so regularly discussed in radio and everywhere else. They're kind of boring to me. I wanted to focus today on the American cultural meltdown and what happened to America, which is in scorched earth. And I know it's too far in advance of publication to read it. I hope you'll be enticed and you'll go to Amazon and you'll buy the book so you have it before anyone else. You probably get it before the bookstores. But I do want to hold my fire for when the book is in the store so I can ask you to be my savage army, as you've been in the past, and go out and clean out the bookshelves. And you will do it. Okay, I know that. But let me read a few snippets because I think that maybe by reading this, Donald Trump just might be advised to start talking about social and cultural issues and not get trapped by Clinton into ignoring them entirely. So here's a page from Scorched Earth. During World War II, I write, Hollywood was patriotic. Jimmy Stewart was a war hero. American movies accurately portrayed America as the good guys. Cartoons featuring Bugs Bunny mocked Adolf Hitler. Hollywood is now run by ardent progs. The few pro-American movies out there have to be privately financed to get made. Look at television. There used to be shows with respected father figures, such as Father Knows Best. In the 1970s, we even had Good Times, where John Amos was a strong black father figure. Then came Dad as Clown. From The Cosby Show to Everybody Loves Raymond, the father was reduced to a punchline. The mother was the adult, and the father was just another child for the mother to contend with. It is no wonder boys are growing up emasculated. The left has wiped out the father as a respected figure. The left has long owned the big three television stations, but one of them has turned their entire programming into leftist indoctrination. NBC owns more than the communist-leaning MSNBC. The parent company has done plenty of indoctrinating on its own. Climate change used to be the domain of a few crackpots. Now every night kids are bombarded with the More You Know ads that are far from innocuous. Little kids are scared to death that the climate change boogeyman is hiding under their bed, preparing to leap up and drown them in acid rain. In 2004, Americans overwhelmingly supported gay marriage bans. Those ballot measures defending traditional marriage played a key role in President George W. Bush's reelection. The public supported traditional marriage. Then, the television networks intervened. Ordinary people in middle America were portrayed as outside the mainstream. By the time the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, the public opinion had already shifted. Young people were almost lockstep in favor of gay marriage. The television carpet bombing of their minds worked. In addition to the entertainment industry, libs seized control of the schools. Randy Weingarten is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. Her job is to make sure that teachers who molest children are given protection from being fired. Try firing a bad public school teacher, then wait a few years. The unions give millions of dollars to liberal Democrats in exchange for lifetime protection for all involved. Teachers are free to indoctrinate students without any fear of interference from parents. Huckleberry Finn gets removed from classrooms while Heather Has Two Mommies replaces it. The left controls the libraries. When was the last time you saw a Republican librarian? The libraries decide what books are on the shelf and what books are restricted. Music is the domain of the left. Rappers sing songs about murdering police officers. Then young people march in the streets chanting for more dead officers. When the inevitable happens, the left expresses shock that their calls for violence led to violence. The internet is supposed to be free and open for people to seek information as they see fit. Now try looking something up. You Google it. Google is run by a hardcore leftist. So are YouTube and Facebook. A Freedom of Information Act request led to the release of some of Hillary Clinton's emails. One of those emails showed that Mrs. Clinton's people sent various emails of their own to executives at Google and YouTube. After the Benghazi debacle, Clinton's people persuaded the executives to block the YouTube video that Obama and Clinton blamed for the attacks. Had Americans seen the actual, crudely made video, they would have scoffed at the notion that Benghazi was about a video. The video was blocked for several days while the Obama administration and its employees get their lying story straight. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is another one who shuts down pages on his site that are critical of Islam. Yet pages dedicated to finishing off the Jews are allowed to stay up on Facebook. Zuckerberg is an indoctrinated millennial who now uses his multi-billion dollar empire to indoctrinate the next generation of young leftists and trainings. And there's more. Much, much more about the leftist agitators, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, reaching the highest levels of power. And I say Barack Obama didn't start this decline. He was put in place by the radical left to push us as far as he could. Mao Zedong's China is apparently the model. And then I go into what happened in communist China, which started out rather innocuously, by the way. So let me conclude on this cultural chapter from Scorched Earth with the ending of it, because it's all about Hillary and the dangers that we face from her. Funded by George the Evil Soros, Barry Obama and Hillary have been grooming the next group of Marxist socialist justice warriors. Black Lives Matter, Code Pink, Occupy Wall Street, and every other violent leftist group is a direct consequence of Gramsci's model being applied to the most vulnerable among us, our children. While our indoctrinated young leftist radicals are tearing America down, our Islamist enemies are building their armies up. Our kids are curled up in the fetal position in their safe spaces, hiding from climate change monsters. If they are the last line of defense, the Islamists should soon be able to take control of America the way they did Europe. We will all be part of the caliphate soon enough. Yeah, okay, you think it's hyperbole? Or do you think that what Hillary says is right? Just admit as many Islamists in as possible hiding under the guise of being friendly, middle-of-the-road, plain old middle-of-the-road Muslims coming here to work and make America great again. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Show, we have almost no time. I mean, the time's just flying by on Rock and Roll Friday. I mean, if you were to summarize what I've talked about so far that's significant, it's that Paul Wolfowitz, one of the architects of the Iraq War, lied to the world and American people to get us into the war. Now is advising us that he fears Donald Trump and he's going to vote for Hillary. What does that tell you about Hillary? It means a warmonger, like Wolfowitz, a neocon who dragged us into the war, wants another war because of the military-industrial complex. I also said lay off Hillary on the health issue. All it's doing is alienating people and making you look like bullies. Just forget about it. Now let's go to the callers. Richard on line 7, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, thank you. I'm a classical actor, and I spend most of my time as a German opera singer. I'm an Italian coming from Coney Island, Brooklyn. My question is, after studying all of the classical roles, you know, I must have sang over 60 or 70 of them, Mr. Savage, I found out where Obama fits into what role.
Oh, good. I'd like to hear it. What role would that be on the stage?
Just the role in Othello, a Shakespearean play that's turned into an opera, and the role that he plays is what I play, Iago, the bad guy. Iago is everyone's friend. Everyone loves him. And but when he's alone, he's the devil. Obama is the type of person that stabs you in the back and then comes nicely with a nice, sweet voice, tells you, don't commit murder. Be very nice. Be a good boy. That's the type of character he is. He's a Iago of a person.
I-A-G-O, for those of you out there who would like to research further on what this caller just said. So having said that, there's an interesting analogy that you just gave us. Who is Hillary from the point of view of operatic characters?
Well, she's a dumb broad. Probably one of the, you know, there's nothing good about her. She can't even play Mary, Queen of Scots. There's nothing...
But historically, you're an opera, you're an actor, which means you study your parts from many different angles. Who would she be historically most associated with?
Hillary. Oh, you got me thinking here, Michael. Let me see.
All right, so let's say Donald Trump. Who would he represent in an opera? Who would represent him best?
Donald Trump would be sort of a king, one of the kings in a Wagner opera or even in the Verdi opera, because he's got spontaneity and he has people listening to him. And what's even more happening, the people are calling in and telling him now to tell what they should be, what he should be saying. He's a catalyst. He got people interested in him, and he's going to win because he's got everyone calling in saying he should be saying this, he should be saying that, and that's wonderful.
All right, now this is good. He is a king, and I could almost name the king he would play. Now, this is very intriguing. So now here's the loaded question of the day, Mr. Opera singer and actor. Who am I? In the world of opera, who would I be? Which character?
All right, Michael Savage, you would probably be in a Wagner opera, Beckmesser, in the Meistersinger. Beckmesser looks at everything, and he has to decide who's going to be the best singer. And he picks on all the different things, and he realizes. Or you can even be a Poltner, or the father. Who has a wise, you're a wise person. You have wisdom. You understand other people. You understand.
I love you. Where did you come from? How'd you get on this show on KLIF in Dallas if you're from Coney Island? What are you doing down there?
Well, I came here because the Washington Opera is doing the marriage of...
All right, we have to continue this. Send them scorched earth. I got to talk to this guy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I was astounded that Paul Wolfowitz, who was one of the architects of the Iraq War under Bush 2, one of the original neocons who got us into Iraq, a man who was a true war criminal in my estimation. Paul Wolfowitz is a war criminal in my mind for lying to us about weapons of mass destruction, for dragging us into Iraq, for causing the deaths of millions of Iraqis and hundreds of thousands of others, and of course for leaving the dead and wounded along the battlefield. Paul Wolfowitz now comes out minutes ago in Germany and gives a speech in that horrendous nation of Germany, with German newspaper Der Spiegel, in favor, of course, of unlimited immigration of Muslims into Germany. And Paul Wolfowitz, the neocon deputy secretary of defense under George Bush from 01 to 05, said yes when asked if he considers Trump to be a security risk. But wait, we got more for you, if that's not enough for you. When asked why, Wolfowitz, the war criminal, in my opinion, who was a driving force and top policy architect of the Iraq war, Wolfowitz, who was a driving force and top policy architect of the Iraq war, in other words, he lied to Bush and caused the deaths of thousands of Americans, and top policy architect of the Iraq war, said, well, it's because Trump's admiration for Russian President Vladimir Putin and former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. Listen to what else this neocon said. The only way you can be comfortable about Trump's foreign policy is to think he doesn't really mean anything he says. That's a pretty uncomfortable place to be in. Our security depends on having good relationships with our allies, said Wolfowitz. Trump mainly shows contempt for them, calling Trump's praise for the aforementioned leaders pretty disturbing. Wait, I got more for you. If that's not enough, here comes the rest of the walkaway cocktail. You got the shrimp, you got the clams, now here come the scallops in the walkaway cocktail. Wolfowitz's feelings of discomfort toward Trump and his foreign policies are enough to drive him to the Democratic presidential nominee. He said, I wish there was somebody I could be comfortable voting for, said the war criminal, in my opinion, Wolfowitz. He said, I might have to vote for Hillary Clinton, even though I have big reservations about her. Now, Wolfowitz, the neocon, who lied to George Bush, lied to the American people, and got us into Iraq, joins a series of other former officials under George Bush who have come out publicly for Clinton instead of Trump, including James Glassman, Bush's undersecretary of hate for public diplomacy, as well as a deputy secretary of hate, Richard Armitage. Wolfowitz's old boss, former defense secretary Donald Rumsfeld, remember him, told the Washington Examiner this year that he would be voting for the Republican, but stopped short of specifically saying he would support Trump. So now you're asking me, what does this mean? It's simple. Why would one of the liars, one of the top liars in the universe, a certified madman who got us into Iraq on the big lie of weapons of mass destruction, who only Fox News believed, I certainly didn't believe it, Wolfowitz calls Donald Trump a security risk. He says he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Why? Why does he hate Putin, and why does he hate Trump, and why does he love Clinton? Answer, bingo. We should play the Eisenhower clip right now, if you have it, Jim. If you have it, just play it, because that will explain to my poor audience what's exactly going on the pinball machine of politics. Let's hear it.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That's
the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
So he said, beware the military-industrial complex. He was a great American general. He was the supreme Allied commander of the Allied forces in World War II, defeating Superman. He was then president when I was a little boy. He was probably one of the greatest of American presidents in my lifetime. He is one of the people I look up to as an example of a great balanced president who was also a man with military experience. Going back to World War I, by the way, fought in World War I. Great man, wonderful man, but he warned us, even though he was a military man, beware the military-industrial complex. And now we wake up and we see a member of the military-industrial complex, through their mouthpiece, Paul Wolfowitz, calling Donald Trump a security risk, saying he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton because Trump wants to have peace with Putin, not war. So what does that tell you? It tells you that Wolfowitz is salivating with blood coming out of his gills, waiting for the day Hillary Clinton becomes president so she can steam up the world against Putin and justify spending trillions of dollars on military equipment and possibly go to a limited war with Russia in order to satisfy the greedy animals in the military-industrial complex. This is exactly what I'm talking about. And I must say, yes, it's in scorched earth. I warn you about the military-industrial complex. The most important book of your generation is Scorched Earth, out in 2 weeks. But let me go past my book and go into today's show. Here is Trump not knowing what to do. They got him spinning. They brought in the Republican National Committee strategist, who's an idiot of the highest order, an idiot who advised Mitt Romney. I mean, what more do you need? How'd that work out for Mitt Romney and America? They bring in a schmendrick who misadvised Mitt Romney to advise Trump. And what's the advice? I gotta tell you what the advice is. It's milquetoast all the way. M-I-L-Q-U-E-T-O-A-S-T, milquetoast all the way. Who is milquetoast?
which is, I'm on your side. I'm not against you. I'm really for you. I think I'm for you, and I'm against you. I didn't mean this. I didn't mean that. Although I like you, I don't like you. Although I might deport, I wouldn't deport. I think you should be deported, but I won't deport. We have to limit the deportation. We don't know how many of you are here, but we don't really mean it. We like it. Hasta la huelga, da, 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 put on the sombrero and sing a song. So that's going to help him with who? Nobody. The Hispanics already don't like him. Okay? And so how does it help him with his base? It doesn't. It undermines his base, which is why the Republican National Committee told him to do it, because they don't want him to win. They're just like Wolfowitz. Don't you understand that the RNC, by inveigling their way into the Trump campaign and promising him tons of money and support, basically are using the Trojan horse of those promises to do what they've done to him, which is undermine him. That's all. And, of course, most of you are calling only about immigration, because I know that's the hot-button issue. But believe me, and believe me when I say to you, the article I read to you, which came out minutes before the show opened, the architect, or one of the chief architects of Bush's war in Iraq, calling Donald Trump a security risk, saying he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton, tells you everything you need to know about who is opposing Trump and why. It's the bloodthirsty ghouls in the military-industrial complex who are dying to gin up a war with Russia in order to have the taxpayers foot $1 trillion or $20 trillion, doesn't matter to them, feeding frenzy of bulletproof vests built by a company owned by a certain senator's husband that don't actually stop bullets. Oh yeah, nice Pacific Heist lifestyle, fed it at the museums and the opera. Wonderful contractor, the senator's husband. And one of his contracting companies made bulletproof vests that didn't work. Didn't stop her from getting reelected. I mean, insider trading is a wonderful thing in America. Look how far Hillary's gotten with it. So why should it not apply to a senator? I mean, these are the people who want a limited war with Russia. Don't confuse yourself. They don't want an actual launch into San Francisco of nuclear weapons. They certainly wouldn't want that. They're not that insane. In other words, their greed has a limit. They don't want their own city blown up. But if they have to destroy half the Ukraine, what the heck? If they can make another couple of $1 billion, what's the difference if 3 million people die? What's the difference to them? And if 1 million Russians die, what do they care? As long as they can get a bigger yacht and a fancier plane and be invited to the White House, what's the difference? So what else is new? Well, what else is new? It's never been like this in American history. Never. It's never been this bad. And there's a word for it, which I used yesterday, which is new to talk radio. No one else has ever used it. It's not like I invented the word. The word is avarice. We've heard the word greed. We've heard the words corruption. But the word is avarice, and more accurately applies to this kind of sickness that is now pervasive in the American political and, frankly, I'm sorry to say to you, business world. Avariciousness has never been at this level, at least in my lifetime. My lifetime would be, let's say, when I was conscious from the 50s on, which is quite a long time when you think about it. I have never seen a level of avariciousness like this, where the avaricious psychopaths have put puppets into power who do not control their insanity. And that, my friend, is the problem we are facing. So who is the craziest of them all? Is it Hillary or Donald? Well, I'll let you figure out who runs the Clinton Foundation for personal gain. And the name is not Trump. So here we are. Donald Trump pivoted in order to appeal to Hispanic voters. And the estimates are he did not gain any Hispanics. And he lost his core. I talked about this yesterday, and I told you that I'm not in favor of even saying we're going to deport 30 million people because, A, there are three reasons why we can't do it. One, it can't happen. It's impossible to do. You cannot deport 30 million people. It's impossible. It won't happen. But we came up with an alternative plan for getting rid of the people we don't need. For example, one-third of the prison population are illegal aliens. They're non-citizens. They are incarcerated. You can begin there. Trump didn't mention that because he didn't talk about it on the Michael Savage show. He talked about it on a show where there's no thinking, where there's no thought. There's just parroting. Well, I originate ideas. I don't parrot ideas. That's number one. So you begin by deporting the one-third of prisoners who are illegal aliens. Yesterday, a caller came up with another idea, Mr. Trump. If this should get to you, pay attention to it. You eliminate the H-1B visa.
You deport everyone on an H-1B visa going back 5 years. You give them 3 months to leave America. You don't have to deport them. They're generally nice people. Most of them are from India. They're not violent people. The reason you deport them is not because they're bad people, but because they took American IT jobs. That's number two. So there are many things that can be done. Number three, eliminate all welfare, all legal aid, all. That means all. That means everything an illegal alien means a non-citizen gets, you eliminate. We have veterans dying in the hallways of VA hospitals. We have American indigenous poor of all races who are starving for government help or for jobs. And so therefore, as they say, you know, charity begins at home. That's number two or three. But anyway, so here's a new poll. Two-thirds of voters want to see Clinton-Trump medical records. All right, fine. I'd like to see talk show hosts' medical records. I am so sick and tired of blowhards screaming about Hillary Clinton's medical woes while they themselves are hiding their own medications and their own medical issues. Why don't we hear about that? I mean, whose medical records do you want exposed? Only theirs? How about yours? And the reason I'm saying is that I'm sick of it. Stop beating her up on the health issue for two reasons. One, because I think you're barking up the wrong tree. And number two, you're invading her privacy. I'll tell you the truth. You want to see the medical records? I even said, okay, fine, anyone running for office should expose their medical records. In fact, for years now, I've said I want to see a drug test for everyone in office. I like them to pee in a cup like you have to do. You take a job, as the smallest job in a corporate world, you pee in a cup to see if you're on drugs. If you're, let's say, a deli man in a supermarket, and you're working for a chain, you have to pee in a cup. So why shouldn't the U.S. congressman or senator have to pee in a cup? Well, I want to know what drugs they're on. Might explain their behavior, right? So having said that, I think the same should be true for everyone in the media. That would be me, Stephanopoulos, Wolf Blitzer. I want to see everyone's medical records. And I'll tell you, if anyone accepts this challenge, I will post my medical records online. Because guess what? I got nothing to hide. I am on no medication. Do you know that? I am proud to tell you I am on no medication. I have no medical issues. Well, I have a few medical issues, but everyone does. I mean, underlying, if you looked at the... If you look at a mummy from ancient Egypt, you'd be shocked to find out that they had medical issues, even in ancient Egypt, like heart disease. You say, how's that possible? There was no McDonald's in ancient Egypt. How could a mummy show heart disease from thousands of years ago? Well, because it's endemic in the human condition. But I'm saying to you, before you start screaming, I want to see everyone's medical records, okay, all of us in the media who are really part of the government in our own way, when you think about it. I mean, we're demanding, what, heart health records? Fine. Let's see his, too. But then I want to expose all talk show hosts' health records. I want to know what drugs they're on. I want to know what diseases that they're harboring, which might explain their viewpoints. Because then we might have some quality here. And also the same with liberals. I want to know what they're hiding. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, part of what I did today on the Savage Nation was talk about the American Cultural Revolution. I didn't spend a lot of time on movies, but I've got to tell you right now, there's a movie coming out today. It's a complete fake story about the Obamas and how they first met. It's nauseating. I've seen the coming attractions. You could vomit from it. It's such a lie from the top to the bottom. Nice young black kids just meet each other, and they're so in love with each other, and they're such idealists and out to save the world, right? They weren't two flaming left-wing fanatics with racism through and through. No. So it's a South Side with You provides fresh insight into the Obamas, says NBC News, right? And he says the movie is about their first date. And blah, 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 blah. Well, let's play the trailer of how Barack and Michelle Obama met. The love story of Barack Obama and Michelle, the two lovebirds on the South Side.
Time of unrest and revolution in the city of Chicago. Something lay below the surface of two radical revolutionaries.
We were at a law firm together. I was a summer associate. She was already practicing law. And I had been sort of eyeing her for a while, but she was acting real professional.
Right, but my assumption was this guy's got to be kind of weird.
Love.
He was cuter than I thought he'd be. We clicked right away.
Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson, two radicals falling in love in Southside with You.
We sat out on a curb on a summer day and had ice cream, and that's when I asked if I could kiss her.
It was a cool day.
Oh!
Actually, we spent the whole day together.
One man, one woman, sharing a common goal. Transforming a great nation into a racially divided cesspool.
No, wait, what's saying,
oh, so we wrote this stuff,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It just come out.
Barack and Michelle, communing over communism.
And that was another thing that drew me to Barack, was his work as a community organizer.
Southside with You, a Hammer and Sickle production. Now playing in a theater approved by the state. Rated R for Radical Revolution.
I forgot that we wrote that stuff. Well, perhaps the filmmaker, the propagandist, the Leni Riefenstahl who did this, can do a sequel on the Clintons, how they just met, and he can call it not Southside with You, but, let's see, Backside with You? That might work. I can't wait for the sequel to this movie by this propagandist. But anyway, it's out today, and I'm sure it's going to be just gushed over by all of the czars of Hollywood. This has been a wonderful time on the Savage Nation. Thanks for being here.